This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Till I die.
Right, Chris.
All right. Good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello, depending where you are in the world. Welcome along. This is the preview show of Bristol City versus Leicester City on LTID TV1 from Leicester Till I Die. Thank you for watching. If you are doing, please feel free to join in comments. If you popped over from any Bristol channels at all, you are most welcome. We welcome fans from any club into these shows. All we ask is that you just show a little bit of respect for each other. So please do join in with the comments. And if you are listening via your favourite podcast platform, whatever that may be, thank you for lending me your ears. That was a quiet 2 weeks, wasn't there? Anything happened? Not much happened, was it? A couple of weeks off for the international break. Very quiet 2 weeks for Leicester City, I thought. Where the hell did that come from? I thought, 2 weeks, I'm going to put my feet up. I won't have to do any shows. And then suddenly, up pops the FA, up pops the EFL. It all goes mad. I lose my rag on a national TV. I have to apologise. The guy then comes on and gives a very good show for us to explain the other side of the argument. Talking about the other side of the argument, let's bring my first guest in. You know him. He is my wise old owl. He is one half of the Chuckle Brothers. I'm not saying which half, because one half of them isn't with us anymore. But Craig, welcome along. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Chris. Hi, everyone. Good to be here again. And
proper football coming back.
Yes, we need. I think we need football coming back, don't we?
I think so. I think it's the classic. You know, we've been on the wrong pages of all the newspapers, and even, you know, making the national news for all the wrong reasons. So yeah, it's nice to just get back to playing a game of football.
Isn't that Leicester City all over though? I can remember a young son of mine, Sean. I can't remember exactly how old he was. It was sort of sevens or something like that. When we got up to our little bit of
I think you've seized up there, Chris. I'm not sure whether you've lost connection. I've lost connection. You've lost connection. Or the whole world has lost connection. I can't see any comments, so I can't see anything. So I don't know if the world is listening to me or the world is listening to Chris, and I'm the only one who's talking to himself. So I'm guessing that Chris is having the problems at the moment, so I'm sure he'll be back in soon. He's probably rebooting his system, or more than likely rebooting himself. But as we were talking there, it's been an interesting couple of weeks with all the kind of stories that have been going on behind the scenes. I'm not sure if anybody managed to catch a couple of Chris's shows in the week, one where he had the ex-secretary of the Football League on his show, who did a great job of explaining what really goes on behind the scenes, and saying that there are two sides to every story, explaining what the charges were for, why they're being brought now, what the rules were that were brought in, and the reasons. The one thing he did say at the end of it was that Leicester fans should feel confident that they have fantastic owners, and he's known these owners for a long time. From the time, obviously, I think he said he sat on the board when they had to do all the due diligence about the right and proper owners of a football club, and they went through it, and he was in a lot of those meetings, and he was like a board member who oversaw that, and he just said that they're fantastic owners. The club's in safe hands. You know, it's not owners who are going to run away and walk away when things get a little bit tricky. So. So that's good to hear, and hopefully all the fans will be supporting and getting behind the team and concentrating on what's going on the pitch rather than anything that might be going on behind the scenes. I'm just going to check to see whether Chris has given me a little message about any problems that he's having. But as I say, it could well be just me that... is down and not Chris. So that's a message off to Chris. Hopefully he's all right. If anybody is listening, obviously I can't control any of it. So here he is.
Hello.
You're right.
Everything froze. I couldn't move my mouse. I thought the batteries had gone in my mouse. I was playing a little about a bit with my little bit at the front. And, it all went a bit tits up.
Well, don't you worry. I mean, if we were still live, then I've been waffling on for the last 3 minutes talking about the situation off the pitch.
When I came back. Look, we've kept him waiting long enough. it was his. I'm sure it was Ben's strange woman at the start that caused all the trouble, you know.
Maybe.
Ben, good evening. Thank you for me. I do apologise. I dare say everything just froze on me. I literally, you know, when you have to stick your little thing in the hole to get it all reset. I had to do all that. But welcome along, Ben, Bristol City fan. Tell everybody where you are from and how they can find you.
So I'm from Bristol. Well, just outside Bristol, and I run a similar show dedicated around Bristol City. Yeah, it's on YouTube. Robin's on tour. Usually match day stuff. So I'll get outside the ground and interview a few fans of both sides before the game, see what they're thinking, and I'll have a little chat before.
Brilliant.
This season, seeing Bristol City lose, but you know.
I'll swap our troubles for yours. But we'll just catch up with a few comments that were coming in whilst I was off. Let's just have a look. Geordie is in. Hi, Geordie. Good luck to Leicester tomorrow. Personally, I love them to be back in the Premier League. Leeds fans getting very cocky, thinking they're already up. Do you know what? I wouldn't say that much. Ronald is in. Hi, Ronald. How you doing? Nate is in. Hello, Nate. Matthew, need a big win tomorrow. Come on, you Foxes. Good evening, Sir Chris. I don't know about Sir Chris not at the moment. Oh, it's him again. John's in. Hello, John. He's coming in to see how a proper team does things. Proper football coming back, but is it coming home? That is the question. It's Chris from Iceland. I'm kind of confused on that one. Chris has gone. Yes, I've been gone years, to be honest with you. And Highfields is still saying he can see you. Sorry, Craig, well, I thought you were going to say something then.
I'm just saying I'm glad someone could hear me.
Yes. Thank you for keeping the end up, as they say.
You're welcome.
But here we go. Right. Everybody smash the like button. Right. Let's make a start, because we've all gone a little bit haywire. So let's start. New manager, Ben.
Yeah.
Obviously, you sacked one of the best managers there's ever been. How is he getting on?
It's a weird one, because at the start we weren't winning games, but we were playing a lot more attractive football, you know, that sort of modern attacking style football that everyone loves to see. And then recently it's gone a bit downhill and we haven't been playing that attacking football, we've been losing games. You can see by that stat there, under 30% win percentage in nearly 30 games isn't quite ideal. And I think we're actually a bit lucky this year that there's been a lot of poor teams in the league. Otherwise, I think we would be a bit worried heading into this final little bit of the season if there wasn't, you know, a good five or six teams below us that probably are worse than us this year.
Do you think Nigel had to go?
No one really knew where it came from, because obviously, you know, we weren't playing the best football, but we were still picking up results. Even when we weren't picking up results, we had a tough run of games. I think we played you guys away at the King Power, and I think we put up a pretty good fight there.
Yeah.
A few weeks later, I think we had Leeds away. And again, I think we only lost one, I think we lost 2-1 there as well, but again, put up quite a good fight. And I think we had Southampton in there as well. So we had a really tough run of games. I think it was really more behind the scenes thing rather than the results on the pitch that got Nigel sacked. And like
Ben,
I said,
he has got a history with that, hasn't he, Craig?
Usually things are off the pitch that get Nigel the sack wherever he goes. But do you think any of his health issues played a part in the club thinking that they needed someone who was a little bit more dynamic and active on the training field?
Well, yeah, that was a sort of, I don't want to say excuse, but the sort of reason that the club gave for him in being sacked. It was, you know, due to his health issues, and that we weren't getting the most out of the squad we had with Nigel at the point where he was, you know, I think like the 2-3 games before he got sacked, he wasn't able to make the game. So we had the assistant manager in charge. So it definitely played a part in the reasoning behind it. But I still, as a lot of other City fans think as well, I think it was a bit harsh, especially the reasoning he gave, because I think our, the son of our owner, I forgot what sort of role he has, but chairman, that's it. The chairman said that he was expecting us, we have a top six level squad. And then obviously since Manning's come in, we've obviously seen that we don't have a top six level squad, and we've got battered pretty much everywhere we've played. Especially, you know, West Brom last game before the international break, we were playing off the park. We didn't look like score. I think we had one shot on target, and that was from the edge of the box. So yeah, it's been a weird one this season.
So would you say you have gone backwards since he got rid? And not just because it's Nigel, but you know, you change a manager hoping that he's going to come in and you're going to improve. But he came from a team that was in a lower division, Oxford United. Was he welcomed by the fans? Is he the man that can take you places? Is he a young manager coming through, or is this a little bit beyond him at the moment?
Again, like I said, it's a weird one because as soon as he came in, we were playing that attacking modern football. And I think after we beat Southampton, we were 4 points off the playoffs, I think. And then we lost two games after that and we were 5 points off the bottom three. So I'm not really sure. I don't think he's the man to take us up. But then also, I don't see anyone taking us up anytime soon. So I think we've got to give him time because it is a bit harsh just to judge him on what, maybe half a season. So yeah, we've got to give him the summer, but yeah.
Yeah, that is a fair point. Craig, well, look to the opposition manager, looking at our manager, he's got a bit of a job on his hands tomorrow, hasn't he?
He has, to be honest. Given the financial straits that we're in, I'm hoping that he's put that trophy on eBay. you know, just get a few quid in, keep the electric going. I mean, he came out in his press conference, didn't he, and said, you know, he's talked to the players, but none of the managerial staff or the playing staff can really affect what's going on behind the scenes other than finishing the job that they started and getting us promoted, which means more money coming in, more revenue. Yes, we may end up, or we're probably, you know, more than likely going to get a points deduction. But at least with that comes some money that will help hopefully stave off the next 3-year rolling finances and keep us safe from another points deduction. So I think that's what they've got to do now. They've got to just concentrate on each game. It is a cliche, but each game as it comes, and just pick up points and keep us in that top two.
It's, and again, you're going to hate me for asking you this, it's your gut feeling. I mean, it's been a baptism with fire for Enzo, wasn't it? You know, I remember sort of, Mickey Adams when we were having all the trouble in Spain, and, you know, he'd had enough at the end.
Yeah.
Is this enough, do you think, for him to work and say, look, I just don't need this hassle?
I mean, what are you talking now or in the close season?
Well, between now and the end of the season, I don't think he'll leave now.
No, because, you know, he can't complain because he was given the players that he wanted. He's compiled the squad that he wanted. Yes, he probably wanted one or two more, but they have backed him. They backed him early. You know, they got him in early. They backed him with the key players that he wanted. He wanted Connor Cody. He wanted Harry Winks. Mavididi, we brought in Fatawi, those kind of players. So I don't think he complained that he hasn't been backed because of all the financial issues that are going on. So he will be judged on what he gets out of this squad, which is essentially his squad.
Yeah, I think Andrew here, Ben, is trying to stir the pot, shall we say. good job, there's another team in Bristol. Andrew, be nice to our guests. You mentioned this game before, Ben. I mean, it did take a penalty for myself through Vardy to actually win the game. I know that was under Nigel, probably one of his last games, but I think I wasn't there, but you know, your thoughts on that game?
Quite a while back, but if I remember rightly, I think you guys were definitely the best side. You're on top, and you probably did deserve to win, but I think, you know, we could have easily gone there and conceded three or four by half time, and you know, we shut up shop well, and we defended really well, and I think there was a few chances where, especially in that second half, we could have nicked a goal and maybe held on. And then obviously, you know, the penalty to put you guys 1-0 up is going to be really tough to come back from that. But I think we put a good show on ourselves, and I'm hoping if we can play the same or similar tomorrow, we might be able to get something out of the game. But I doubt it, sadly.
Were you there, Craig?
I was there, and to be honest, I was struggling to recall what actually happened as well, because it seems such a long time ago. If I remember rightly, it was one of those where we always seemed in control of the game without, you know, really dominating in the last third. You know, we made chances, missed chances. Pretty much the story of a lot of our season, to be honest. I think we deserved it. You know, I think we deserved the victory from what I can remember. But I honestly thought that the scoreline was more than the 1-0 when I look back now.
Well, can I just say that you probably both don't remember it, because it doesn't look like it was a particularly exciting game, because according to LCFC.com, nothing happened in the first half. There is absolutely nothing noted for the first half, whether that is whether that's bookings or whatever. The first half just doesn't exist. It was 1-0. 19 shots to us, 6 to Bristol. 37 on target for us, 37% on target, 17% for Bristol, 70% to 30 ball possession. Again, 733 passes to 331. But Craig, this was kind of summed our season up at that point. Yes, we were winning games, but the results were not kind of, you know, justifying our possession, if you like.
Yeah, I think it was early on in the season, and a lot of fans were still frustrated and weren't really buying into Maresca ball, as it became known as. It was a difficult period, I think, for Leicester fans to almost witness what they'd been witnessing towards the end of Brendan's reign, which is decent amount of possession, but not turning into goals or dominating in the final third. I mean, since then, obviously, things have just carried on. The fact is that we started to turn it into goals, and we started to get wins from it. I think overall it's been a frustrating season in many ways. Yes, it's been sort of record-breaking season in the run that we went on, and the amount of points that we got that early in the season. But now we started in a frustrating fashion. We're now coming into another frustrating period of the season. Hopefully we can turn this one round and have as good a second half of the second half of the season as we did in the first half, where it all started to click. We needed to start clicking again.
The second half of the second half, in other words, exactly. The last quarter.
Yeah, you don't come here with your imperial nonsense.
Going to score was a lot further back than that match. Anthony's in. It's a Bristol massive. Manning, I would give him until Christmas this year. We got him from Oxford United, but he sent MK Dons down. So the cheaper option is not great all the time. But the board, always the same, goes for the cheaper option. Are you talking about Bristol or Arsenal there, Anthony? Oh, did I say that out loud? But look, yeah, that was then. But talk us through. I mean, we've sort of touched on it, Ben. That's your season, a bit like a heart patient, there, isn't it? Up and down. But you've sort of I don't think you're in any danger of going down, but you're not really in any danger of troubling the playoffs.
Well, no, that's been our sort of what's the word? That's been the story of the last decade, really, in the Championship. I think if you look at our sort of where we finished each season, I think the highest we've been is maybe 8th or 9th, and then the lowest is 18th, maybe. So we've been a mid-table for the last 7 or 8 years in the Championship. And if I'm being honest, I don't really see anything changing next year. I think we might struggle a little bit just from what we've seen sort of in the last month or two. You can see on that graph there, since that Southampton win, we've dropped off heavily. But yeah, it's not the most exciting time to be a Bristol City fan, I'll give you that.
Yeah. And I mean, your owners, I don't know who your owners are. Are they, you know, well off? Are they the sort of owners that will back your new manager with money come the new season?
They've never been the sort of owners to properly back a manager, but then they've also not not back to manager, if that makes sense. So I think we've got Bird coming in from Derby, who we signed in the summer and then moved back to them and in Christmas, sorry, and then loaned back for the second half of the season. So we've got him come in. We brought a few youngsters as well from Ireland in sort of January. So we're going to have them for next season. But I'd be surprised if we don't sell at least a few players. I think Conway, there's a chance he might be off. So we'd have to replace him up front. Mm-hmm. But they've never really backed us as in to go gun ho and properly push for a playoff. They've sort of just done enough to sort of stay in that mid-table and stay in the division for another year. But I would like to see just one season, just go at it like Reading did a few years back. But obviously, you know, let's not wish for more than we already have, because I think we're in a lucky position to have owners that are locally based and that back us enough to make sure we're not in any problems.
Yeah, and stay on the right side of FFP, PSR, PPI, whatever it's called these days.
It must be, I'm just going to say in there, it must be frustrating that I think I'm right in saying that Bristol are the biggest city to never have a Premier League team. I think me and Chris are old enough to both remember Bristol City being in the top flight in the old Division One with the likes of Chris Garland, I think, who played for both clubs. God bless him, and Jerry Gow, that like. But when you see some of the other clubs like the Lutons, as you mentioned, Reading, even Blackpool, having their sort of seasons in the sun and managing to get up there, it must be consistently frustrating for Bristol City fans to not quite make it.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And it's got to the point where you're hearing some fans saying that they'd even just like, you know, a season when they have a bit of excitement being in a sort of relegation battle at the end of the season. Yeah. You know, it's quite bad when it gets to that sort of stage. But I think last time we were properly fighting for top six. Obviously, you know, there are a few murmurs, when we beat Southampton, we were only a few points off. Mm-hmm. But then, like I said, two games later, we were looking behind us and seeing how far we were off the off the relegation zone. So, yeah, it is. It's not ideal, but then also it's better than, you know, being like a Rotherham and being stuck down there, because obviously that's not ideal either. I worry, even though, you know, going down, you got a nice new few away days, new club, sort of a different, you know. If you do something like Bolton have done or Sunderland, you get stuck in there for 5 years, then that's not ideal, is it?
It's a risk, isn't it? I mean, somebody said to me, you know, did I miss the Premier League? And obviously, yes, I do. But it's nice to win again, which we weren't doing in the Premier League. We are doing in here. But if you don't get straight out of it, and we've got this problem this season, I think, Craig, if we don't get out of it this season, it makes it 10 times harder to get out.
I think so, it does. And as we were talking just before coming live on air, Chris, that there is a lot to like about football in the Championship. You know, it's a lot closer to the football that we knew growing up, I think, in terms of it's just 11 guys and the officials, you know, on the pitch, and without all the technology that comes with it. It's a lot more closer to the footballing roots without being at the mercy of the huge clubs who are going to dominate all the time. And, you know, similar to you were talking about Ben being in the Championship, you know, the likes of Crystal Palace and that, who are, you know, you're just going to be mid-table all the time. And your only excitement is if you do get caught in a relegation battle. There's a lot to be said for being a yo-yo club, to be honest, as long as that yo-yo is on quite a short string.
Yeah. Looking at recent form, you've probably said this sums up how you've been this season. I mean, you've only won one of your last five, losing the other four. Games that you've lost, though, I mean, Sheffield Wednesday, that should have been the game on paper, and it's always on paper, and we know it's completely different when you're actually kicking the ball on the grass. You would have probably hoped to win that, probably hoped to win, beat Cardiff. Fair enough, West Brom and Ipswich were two difficult games you've got. So, and you gave, I mean, up against Ipswich, I mean, you nearly actually, you had every Leicester fan behind you that day.
We probably should have won that as well, or at least got a draw.
Yes. Mm. Yes. I mean, you know, I mean, looking at that, how does that make you feel going into tomorrow's game?
Well, tomorrow's either going one or two ways, because we always play better against, you know, the top teams. Obviously, you know, take away recent form. But, you know, we obviously beat Southampton at home. I keep going back to that because that was probably one of the best moments of this season. One of the things we've actually been able to shout about this year. But obviously beating them 3-1 at home, I think, who else do we have? Obviously, we beat West Ham at home as well. Put up a good fight against Nottingham Forest. So, we've got a thing of doing well against or better against the good side and then dropping off against the worst teams in the division, the sort of lesser teams in the division. And you can see that, obviously, you know, losing away to Sheffield Wednesday, dropping points to Cardiff, barely beating Swansea. I mean, we're probably the better side, but Swansea were awful. And then, you know, another day it probably should have been a 0-0, to be honest. But it's given me a bit of hope that we do better against the good sides. And obviously, with Leeds pulling that gap at the top back to, well, nothing now, really, isn't it? You've just got a game in hand. So yeah. It's either going to go where we're going to manage to nick something early and hold on, or you'll put 3 or 4 past us tomorrow and you'll show your quality. And I'm hoping it's the first one, but...
Well, we'll find out when we come to the predictions later. Craig, I mean, Bristol's form, generally, they're sat 21st in the division on the last sort of 5 games, which is worrying from their point of view. But then again, we're only sat about 17th, something like that. So we're not, you know, cutting up any trees ourselves. But, you know, Bristol at home, 16th. Mm. Leicester away, 4th. We know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Our away form probably has been better than our home form this season, but we can't afford to take this lightly, can we?
Definitely not. Yeah, I mean, as I said beforehand as well, that it's cliche time. It's one game at a time, and you just got to come away with 3 points each time and focus on that. I remember I always like that,
by the way.
Pardon?
Do you have rice with that?
Yeah. Sorry. I do remember it's always nice to get an opportunity to mention the fact that I did predict that Bristol were going to beat Southampton in our predictions league. Probably the last result I actually got right, to be honest.
You've not got many right this season, like the rest of them.
Hey, Chris, I got in first, don't you worry, before you trip me up. But no, we've just got to concentrate on this game. Forget that there's a game on Monday that we've got to get ourselves up for as well. And we've just got to go. 3 points is what's required at the minute. And, you know, we can't rely on the fact that just matching other teams' results and winning our game in hand, we've got to put points on the board now. And we definitely can't take them lightly. Because, you know, in this league, anybody can beat you if you're not on it. So, yeah, we've got to come out. We've got to go for the 3.
I believe, you know, like Top does like to sort of give out free beers and free waters at games.
Yeah.
Apparently, if you turn up to any Leicester home game over between now and the end of the season, you get a free can of this.
All right, excellent.
It's squeaky bum time. Bum bum. Yes, thank you. That wasn't really
what
well,
you were going to try to find. It's a good job you didn't bring that other inflatable thing out.
Sorry. Just children here watching. Be careful. Look at the table. I mean, how's that make you feel, Craig? I mean, you can see that, you know, Bristol 14th, they're not going to, in respect to Ben, they're not going to go down. They're not going to trouble, I don't think, the last two playoff places. Leicester, it was all looking so good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, there's no hiding away from the fact that it's disappointing how the last half a dozen games have gone and that lead that we had has been eaten away. To give you your due, Chris, you were always saying that you were just worried that we hadn't had our little our blip. And, you know, it wasn't even a little blip, was it? It's been a big blip, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then all the stuff that's gone off behind the scenes since then, you know, since the bad results, and then this has just come on top of it. It's got to be that point now where everybody at the club, and I include all the supporters in that, focus on what's happening on the pitch, get the results, the supporters there, and I'm sure the supporters will be out in force tomorrow on a Good Friday afternoon and give them all the support that they need to get us over the line. But that's, it is essentially, it's nine. See how many cliches I can get in. It's nine cup finals.
There's another one. We're doing. Is it, Craig? I mean, I forgot what I was going to say now. Yes, we had our bad patch. Leeds had their bad patch at the start.
Yeah.
So they'd have probably would have actually been better off than this had they started well. But it's all about finishing second, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Maresca has been consistent in saying that he didn't expect us to cling on to a 12-point lead until the end of the season. You know, no. It's just virtually impossible for any team to do that. I think what makes it work, if those defeats that we've had in the last three had been scattered throughout the season, then it wouldn't have been so bad, would it? It's no. The fact that they've all come one after the other after such a strong run of results that has made it seem worse than it actually is. But the fact is, you know, we're still there. It's in our own hands. Again, another cliche. If anybody who's playing cliche bingo, you must have a line by now.
Full house.
I think so.
Yeah. Ben, looking at the game tomorrow, how do you see Bristol City lining up? What sort of, you know, your Liam's sort of favoured formation? How's he going to go? Who are the players we should be watching out for?
Well, to be honest, he's been changing it up the last few games. I think the last three games in a row, there's been three or four changes to the starting 11. So I couldn't really give you that because we don't know, to be honest. Formation-wise, again, he's liking the change up at the minute. Now I think he knows we're sort of safe. But it'll be four at the back or sort of five at the back with wing-backs pushing up. And then it'll be sort of two central midfielders in Joe Williams, Matty James, Gardner Hickman. Jason Knight maybe might pull back there. And then we'll have we'll either play two or three in front of them, and then a soul striker. Or we as fans, we're wanting to see two up front, and we saw a bit of that at West Brom, but it's more sort of, you know, a striker and then a sort of centre forward role, sort of just sitting behind him. Players to look out for: Rob Dickey's probably been our player of the year, but obviously centre back, you're not really looking out for that. So it's probably going to be Gardner Hickman or Tommy Conway in attacking sense. Joe Williams in midfield as well. He's put a shift in this season. And then obviously, like I said, Rob Dickey at centre-back. He's put a shift in both areas of the pitch, you know, making last-ditch tackles to stop a shot, or he's even come up with goals. I think he might be our third top scorer this year, which just shows how poor it may have been for us this season that our centre-backs are up there in the top scorers. Yeah. But
yeah. Yeah. Craig, for ourselves, and I'm sure Ben won't want to hear this, but Vardy's probably going to be back. Casey McAtee is still out. Ricky could be involved, which is fantastic news, as could Dennis. I don't think either of them will start, though. We do know it's going to be the old four. Tell me the formation. My mind's gone blank.
I think it'll be a 4-3-3, Chris. But then with whoever's right back coming in and making the extra midfielder.
My brain wouldn't do the maths. I got the first four and then I was completely lost after that. Do you think it's going to be, and we're not going to do the team, but do you think it's going to be Hamza again?
I think so. I don't think he'll risk Ricky at all. I think if he can get away with him not playing at all, I think he will do that. And keep him for Monday as a big boost to come back in on Monday against Norwich, who are on a really good run of form themselves. And I think that's going to be a tough game. So I think he'll go as strong as he can without risking anybody for the rest of the season. Because I think if you go down with a recurrence of an injury now, you can probably kiss goodbye for the rest of the season. Yeah. I think that's why he came out and said they weren't going to risk McAteer, because if they did bring him back too early, he'd be gone for the season. So I don't think they can afford to risk anybody at this stage. If it was two or three games to go, maybe you would. But at this stage, with still nine games to go, I think they'll be wrapping them in cotton wool and only using those players if they have to. I was disappointed that indeed he got called up to go back to Nigeria just after he came back from injury. I think, you know, that could go one or two ways. You know, one, he could be tired, or two, it's like him having two extra games for us after coming back from injury. So it may have got him up to full speed. So that could be a bonus for him coming back in as well. So I think he'll go as strong as he can, but without risk.
Indeed, he's not been mentioned here, but Cannon has. Now, Cannon's injured.
Cannon picked up an injury in training.
Yeah. So it looked like it's going to be Vardy stroke Dakar. Do you think Vardy starts both games, or do you play Vardy against Bristol or save him for Norwich?
I think he'll probably start him. You know, the only other one could come in. I mean, I think Iheanacho went and Dakar went with Ghana, I think. So they've both been away on long trips. So I would imagine that Vardy will start at least this one. And then see how he gets on.
Do we talk long trips? I mean, look, you know, we go off on holidays, and Africa's not like it's, you know, 20 hours one way or 15 hours the other. It's pretty much within the hour that we're in with Africa. They travel very well. They shouldn't actually be overly tired, should they?
No, I would have thought so. What it means is that you've just not been playing with the rest of the team who have been training for the rest of the time, so you can't really work on things when those players are not there. So if you've been working on a formation or patterns of play for the last 2 weeks and certain players have been missing, then you would think that they're not going to walk straight back in.
No. I've got to say, and seeing as you've gone for your cliches, I'm going to slip one in here. The result is more important than any performance tomorrow, isn't it? I don't care if we play absolutely shite and it goes in off Vardy's arse in the 91st minute. That's what's important for us tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You are at that time. You know, if it was like ice skating and you got points for artistic merit and gymnastics, fair enough, but you don't at the end of the day. You know, he's not going to change now. He's going to stick to his methods, the way that we play. But it is all about just grinding out results. You know, we've had to do that in a couple of games, a couple of away games where we haven't played particularly well, but we've ground out results. And I think it's nice to see that side of the team, that there is a little bit of resilience there. And I'm hoping that they can unify behind what's been going on off the pitch in a sort of, you know, backs against the wall siege mentality. And then just grind out all the results that we need to get.
Now, we do, Ben, have a section of this programme where we called Been at Both. They're basically a player that's been, or a manager.
Or a tea lady, knowing Chris.
Oh, you won't let that go, will you, Craig? I beat him at it the other day, and he wasn't
beat me at it. Someone who was assistant manager for a week.
Still counts. Was he or was he not for that week paid by Leicester City? But I've got to realize, I didn't want to go too far back because looking at Ben, he didn't look like he was our age. And I think we can say he definitely isn't. But I even when you, was it you said earlier, Gow?
I mean, Jerry Gow.
Yeah, that one was over my head. Even I am.
He was a legend there. He had all the hair and a moustache better than yours.
Did he? Well, everybody's got a better moustache than me. Who do you think I've gone for, Craig?
I would imagine that you've gone for Andy King.
I was going to say Andy King.
Yeah.
Can you see? Indeed. I mean, a legend for us, Craig. I think he's still the only player that's won the third tier, the second tier, and the first tier as a champion. I think he's the only player that's ever done that.
Yeah.
Still playing for you, though, Ben.
Yeah. He's got the sort of player that's about to go into sort of, you know, management. So I think his current role is sort of player coach sort of thing. I think that's what he's got at the moment. But we've seen him a bit recently. Liam Mann has put him in a little bit. I've got his match one shirt back there from two, three seasons ago. So yeah,
always have to go Andy down King. And break in, Craig.
Yeah, I know. I mean, how's I know we're talking about Andy King, but how's Matty James been doing for you?
he's been doing well, to be fair. It surprised me he's been this good. Because you know, when he first came, we thought he'd have a season or two and then that'd be it. But he's still putting in a shift for us. When Joe Williams and the likes aren't starting. He's starting less and less now, but you know, like I said, he's still putting in a shift off the bench, and I'm sure you'll see him at some point tomorrow.
Yeah, I think Andy King, just going back to Andy King, I think Andy King has always looked at wanting to go into coaching and management. I think he's sort of famously a student of the game. That's another cliche. We must be done. But I think.
Hang on, I need a fresh piece of paper for your cliches, Craig.
I know. I'm using them all up in one show, so I don't bring them out for the rest of the season. But yeah, he was. It won't surprise me at all that if he comes, you know, if he ends up back at Leicester in some role, to be honest. I think he said it a couple of times. He's hinted at the fact that, you know, we haven't seen the back of him. I think same as Schmeichel came out and said the same thing, didn't he? I think people who have been at Leicester for quite a while have a fondness for the club that it's hard to replicate wherever else they go. But I think Andy will definitely go into coaching and management.
He's a Bristol City fan as well, I think. He's a Bristol fan as well, I think. So that's sort of why he's come back to Bristol. Like I said, like you said, to be fair, I wouldn't be surprised if he does start his coaching career here and then, like you said, go back to Leicester and wherever else it takes him from there.
Yeah.
Are we likely to see either Andy or Matty tomorrow?
I'd expect you to see Matty James at some point tomorrow. Depend on how it's going, possibly Andy King as well. Maybe just for, you know, the fact that there is Leicester and he's obviously got a good relationship with you guys. So I wouldn't be surprised if you saw any of them tomorrow.
I think he came off the bench, didn't he, in the home game. And I think that was probably the most memorable thing he did. He did a lap of honour around the pitch at the end of the game.
And he was
visibly emotional during that from the reception that he got.
Well, and Matty James, to be honest with you, I mean, I always rated him higher than Drinkwater and he was just so unlucky.
It was injuries, wasn't it? It was injuries. Mm. I think you also had Danny Simpson there for a short period, didn't you, Ben?
Yeah, that was under Pearson as well.
Yeah.
It was one of the signings that won't be very memorable, I'll be honest.
He wasn't there long, I don't think, was he?
No. I don't think he played much either, to be honest.
No.
We will do score predictions and we were going to do that, or we will be doing that, straight after this.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts. Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans. Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
and they did do a show earlier. Check us out at 9 o'clock. We are doing a Q&A on this very channel with the BBC Radio Leicester's Owen Palmer Atkin. So if you've got any questions about everything that's going on behind the scenes at the club, not saying he's got the answers, but he'll know a hell of a lot more than me or anybody else. So that's at 9 o'clock with myself, Kate, Agze, and Owen from BBC Radio Leicester. Very kindly agreed to come on and answer our questions. So looking forward to that. And get ready for this. Coming soon. Yeah, two fans down the pub. We've managed to have a chat with our local publican. Craig just put his glasses on to see whether that is Chaz and Dave or not. But it isn't. It's the other Craig and me. Chat shit, get barred, as we like to say. Mm-hmm. But that is going to be coming up Tuesday at 7 in the not-too-distant future. So keep an eye out for that. In fact, it will probably, knowing us, it will be me and Craig that get barred. But there we go. That hopefully should be a laugh. But here we go. Look, score predictions. We will go to our guest first, out of politeness. You might have a head and a heart one, but you've got to come down on one of them, Ben.
You can definitely say that again. Head and a heart one. But we've had that a lot in the last few weeks, to be honest. Heart saying we'll get something, and you know, we'll do what we've done against the good side so far this season. I've had a real good fight. And obviously, I think sell out tomorrow and in front of the Sky cameras, lunchtime kickoff, you know. My heart says 2-1 City, head saying 3-0 Leicester, 3-1 Leicester. So realistically, it's got to be a Leicester win in it. I'll go in the middle and say a 2-1 Leicester win, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little bit more.
Craig?
We could look back to the last game that we played against Chelsea and say that we put up a decent performance there.
Yeah.
I think, yes, we were open. And with all due respect, I don't think Bristol at the level of Chelsea to exploit the fact that we were so open that we allowed Chelsea to walk through the centre of the midfield at time to time. But going forward, I thought we put up a decent display against them, to be honest, and caused them quite a few problems. So I'm hoping that we can take that into this game, and I'm going to go for a Leicester 3-1.
3-1?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3-1. All we can do is dream that Bristol City score an own goal for us up to the standard of Chelsea's at the other weekend. I've gone for my favourite score. I do think it will be a Leicester win because we need it, but I think we will make hard work of it. I think Bristol will give us a good game. They did last time out, and I think it will be a very tight game. But I have gone, I've actually agreed with Ben, I've gone 2-1 for Leicester. Sorry, Ben, but best of wishes for the rest of the season. But I just hope you don't. We need the 3 points. You must. I mean, who do you prefer, Leicester or Leeds? Come on.
Well, I'd like both of you to go up and Ipswich to not, to be honest. But I'll say that much.
Fair enough. Well, I was going to say do us a favour tomorrow, but it doesn't sound like you're going to. I mean, last question before I let you go, Ben. Looking on the outside, you'd have probably seen the news with all Leicester and all this money, etc., etc. What is your take on it as a non-Leicester fan? Do you look at it and go, oh, cheating bastards, whatever, you know? Or do you look at it like, ooh, you know, there's another one?
Well, I don't know enough about it to do all the cheating stuff, but I'm sure we'll hear a chant or two tomorrow about it all. But
I'm sure it's
one of these ones. I don't think we're going to know until the summer much anyway, to be honest. I don't think they're going to have enough time to do anything until the end of the season. So it could be one of those ones where you go up and you start next season with a points deduction and, no offence, probably come straight back down. But you never know. We're just going to have to wait and see what it means. But it does seem since all the return from COVID and that, there has been a lot more of these sort of FFP stuff. And you've seen, obviously, the Forest Evertons. Reading's a different reason, but still sort of same argument, really. So it's an interesting thing to see sort of, and Man City and Chelsea, obviously, of course, think about that. Interesting to see how they've all come about, but it's just modern day football, really, isn't it?
It is, and I think it's a shame that the league tables and everything else is getting dictated to by matters off the pitch rather than matters on the pitch. But as me and Craig said right at the start, in the back room, it's modern day football. Ben, I won't wish you good luck tomorrow because I've been totally lying, but I do wish you better luck for the rest of the season. And thank you very much for coming on again. Your link is in the description below. To your Twitter, your X, whatever it's called these days. But do give everybody again one last shout out as to where they can follow you.
Yeah, so it's just YouTube, Robins on Tour. I'll be at the game tomorrow. So if any Leicester fans are there, drop me a message on X, like Chris said, linked in the description. Ben Mead, BCFC, and I'll get you on the video pre-match, thoughts on the game, thoughts on, you know, how your season's gone, how the second half, well, what is it? Last quarter of the season is going to go. So yeah, if anyone does fancy chat tomorrow, let me know, and then there'll be a video after the game. Probably it'll either be straight after the game or after the 3 o'clock games tomorrow. Yeah.
Brilliant. Look forward to it, Ben. Thank you very much, mate. All the best. Take care now.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks for coming on. Bye bye, Craig. I'm going to ask you this before I let you go. I'm not going to ask you to predict the team. Norwich is next up for us on Monday, and we can't complain that there's a lot of games because it's a lot of games for everybody else. But it's another early kickoff again for the TV, and as I know, it's how annoying these TV games are, but it comes with the success. If we, you know, if we were sat in fairness to Bristol where they were, we wouldn't be on the TV. You know, we wouldn't be on the TV. 6 points up for grabs. How many can you see us getting?
To be honest, I'd like to see us get all six, and I think we can. I think Norwich are on a good run of form, as we've said. But what I would like to see, if we can all think back to the run in when we won the league, there was a really, really important game against Norwich. In the final few weeks of that season, where we managed to get a 1-0 win right near the end. I think it was 89th minute with old Ajoa popping up at the back post. That was the one. It was the earthquake that was registered. So I'd like to see us get a similar result and kick us on into that last end of the season.
6 points out of six for Craig there. And a question that Scott asked earlier, I think he forgot your name. Question for the Leicester fans. Oh, so Leicester fan, sorry. Do you believe we have the mentality and strength to get the job done, i.e. promotion?
I wish I could 100% say yes. I think we may end up, I know I've gone 3-1 there. I think it may end up very similar to the end of the Premier League winning season, that there are a lot of 1-0s and we are having to grind ones out. Because I think we've got the mentality in the midfield and at the back. We've got two young wingers who are a little bit temperamental, and I'm not sure that they've got the strength of character to put in match-winning performances when it's needed. So overall, I think we have, but I think we're in for a tight ride. And, there may be a few 1-0s amongst these running games.
I always say, if you'd have given us this at the start of the season, we'd have beaten your hand off, wouldn't we? As you say, if we'd lost these games, sprinkled about the season, we probably wouldn't be feeling the doom and gloom. I probably asked you this earlier, but if I did, I can't remember, so I apologize if I'm repeating myself. But last question, Jamie Vardy, do you start him tomorrow? I can't remember what you said. You start him tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's the one who's been there for the 2 weeks, getting himself fit, being involved in all the training sessions, I would imagine, rather than our other options. Cannon's picked up an injury. Iheanacho and Dakar have both been away. And Vardy had been in a decent run of form. So, I think he starts with Vardy.
I think you just got to. Every game is difficult. I don't think you can look on games at this time of the season and say, well, you know, if we've got QPR to play, let's say, you can't say, well, that's going to be an easy game because they're fighting for their lives, you know. And
exactly. I think we've got bitten by that, you know, with QPR coming and getting that 2-1 win. That was a real kick in the teeth to us. So, again, let's go with the final cliche. There are no easy games.
Oh, you beat me to that. I was going to say exactly that. And I was going to take the last cliche. Oh, well, there are no easy games, but we will take each and every one of them as they come.
We will indeed, mate.
We've got 9 cup finals. I can't think of any more. Craig, are you going tomorrow?
No, I'm not going to Bristol. I have been there once before, so I've decided not to make the trip. I'll have a relaxing day and throw things at the TV instead.
And throw your chocolate eggs at the TV.
Yeah.
Because, of course, if you're going on holiday, you can't take Cadbury's cream eggs with you because of the amount of liquid they've got in them.
Apparently so, yeah.
Silly world we are living in. Craig, have a great weekend, mate. We won't be doing one of these for Norwich simply because we haven't got time. And all the time I've been doing this, have I ever got a Norwich fan on. So I'm not even going to waste an effort in trying to get one. So thank you very much. And look, you know, we'll have a couple of days off. But come on, you Foxes. Thanks very much, mate. And I'll see you next week.
You're welcome. See you soon, mate. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers. Thank you. So thanks to Craig there. And just as you can see on the screen there, tomorrow morning, 11:45, we will be live with the Match Day Live, the pre-match, the team news, the halftime analysis and the post-match reaction. And hopefully we'll be actually have smiles on our face. And wouldn't it be great if Liverpool could lose? If Leeds could lose. Cheers, Craig. Thank you very much. If Leeds could lose, that would be absolutely. Leeds playing. Who do we need a favour of? Because they're Watford. Oh God. I've gone for a Leeds win there. But thanks so much. Don't forget. Be back here at 9 o'clock. Owen Palmer-Atkin from BBC Radio Leicester coming on for the Q&A, and he will be answering your questions as well as Kate's and mine. I will see you later. Thanks to Ben for coming on. Check his link outside down below. Maybe arrange to meet him. He is going to be at the match doing a video. If you're travelling tomorrow, safe travels. Stay safe. Don't do anything silly. It's only a football match. It's not, is it, though? It's not. We can't say that. But thank you to Craig as well. And thank you to everybody in the chat. And thank you to Scott for modding. We'll be back, like I say, at 9 o'clock with the Q&A with Owen. And thank you to everybody who's been listening on the podcast. Really do appreciate it. Take care. And I will see you for Sloppy Seconds at 9 o'clock. Bye.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.